Thank you for that, Astrid. Been hearing that song in our house for the last few weeks, and it's been actually a wonderful way to usher in this Advent season, hearing that Ode to Joy. Can you join me in your bulletins in the insert for the call to worship? Come, let us worship in faith the God who is here and longs for our worship. Redeeming God, show your face, so that we, your people, can share your hope. Help us see your hope, O Lord.
Let your light shine so that everyone can see your glory.
Speak to us, for your words bring life.
Walk with us, so we will be encouraged.
Restore us, that we might be your people.
Hold us, and we will bend to your will.
Burst out in our lives again this Christmas, O Lord of hope. And then also in the bulletin, let's sing Hope is a Candle as we invite the candle lighters forward. And we will sing verses 1 and 5. And let's stand, please. Scripture now, which you can also find in your bulletin if you want to follow along. God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Nazareth in Galilee with a message for a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to Joseph from the family of King David. The angel greeted Mary and said, "You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you." Mary was confused by the angel words and wondered what they meant. Then the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid. God is pleased with you, and you will have a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the God Most High. The Lord God will make him king, as his ancestor David was. He will rule the people of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am not married." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come down to you, and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even though she is old. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months she will have a son. Nothing is impossible for God." Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." And the angel left her. And from Matthew, this is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone. So he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. And the angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then, after her baby is born, name him Jesus. because he will save his people from their sins. So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, a virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which is God is with us. After Jesus woke up, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do. But they did not sleep together before the baby was born. Then Joseph named him Jesus. We're going to have a short drama now, and after that the children will go to Sunday school. We seem to be having technical difficulties, as often occurs, so it's just not turning on. All right, so, is it working?
I really don't think this is worth doing this year.
Do this every year.
You know what I mean. This year is going to be different.
Christmas is still happening. That much is still the same.
But if we put up a nativity scene without a baby Jesus, people will think we don't know the story.
If we were worried what people think, we wouldn't put this thing up at all.
Exactly.
Are you just mad because I asked you to do all the heavy lifting?
No. I'm just not in the Christmas spirit. Without the baby Jesus for the manger, and without our son, it just doesn't feel like Christmas.
When our son Mike left, he took more than a baby Jesus doll with him. And while we don't have our son or the Jesus doll with us anymore, we still have Christmas, and we still have God's promise of redemption. As long as that hasn't changed, I'm sticking with this Christmas ritual.
I wish things could be like they used to be. I want Mike to come back so that we can have a normal Christmas again. I hope we don't have to get used to a new normal without him.
Normal was the problem. Last year was a normal Christmas. That's why he said he left. I refuse to accept a new normal without him. Mike didn't want things to be like they used to be. He wanted something better. I want him to come back so that I can have peace of mind again. I want him to come back so that I don't have to go to bed afraid for him anymore. I want him to come back so that we and the nativity set can be complete again.
The thing about technology, it always seems to work in a different way than we're hoping. I know when I used to work where we often do PowerPoint presentations, I would always say, no, I will do without that because it will always break when you go to do your presentation. So I'd like to welcome you all here on this first Advent. Do we have any guests in our midst that would like to be introduced? Well, if you are guests here, please feel welcome, and everybody else feel welcome as well. I have a few announcements to highlight. If you look at number 14, the annual reports, we're asking that they be in a little bit earlier this year, December 15th, so, and then the financial reports for January 5th. So please, if you are a leader of a group, mark that on your calendar and get that in. And then also number 10, the worship committee, we're planning to focus on issues in people's lives for January. So, mental illness, depression, aging, death. I know those aren't the lightest themes for January, but we'll break them up so it won't all be depressing. But I think these are real issues in our lives that it would be great to come together and think about. So if there is anything that you would like to have us cover in that series, please let Gary know or any of the other members of the worship committee. And then also number 9 is the Sunday school department is looking for someone who'd be willing to help sew some costumes for Christmas Eve. And I think Chris has an announcement.
Hi. On the back of the bulletin here, it says that youth is at 7:30 this week. It is actually 6:30 this week. We're having a Christmas party, a joint party with Springfield Heights and Jubilee. And that'll be here at 6:30, and there'll be supper provided, so they don't have to eat before they come. Thanks.
Being youth, I'm sure they will eat before they come, even though there'll be food provided. So I'd like to, and there's one more announcement. Some of you may know we're in the process of reorganizing where we store things in the church, and so all the files are now in one place, and we have also moved all of these things like the candles and candle holders and anything decorative like that to the storage area on this side. So if you're hosting an event downstairs or wherever and you're looking for candles and candle holders, they will be in that cupboard over there. And we'll put an announcement in the bulletin for next week as well if you're looking. And then also if you are using them, please return them to that location so we can keep them all organized. And now I'd like to go into the sharing time with some prayer requests. Number 3, Anna Funk Gunter and Will Brown will both be having surgeries this coming week, and they pray for quick healing and that the surgeries are successful. And then we also have some condolences for the family of Mary Vogt, and we apologize, we neglected to add Ed and Mary Hebert as family members there as well for Mary Vogt, who passed away on Thursday. And the funeral will be here on Wednesday, and the time is 11 a.m. That's not included in the bulletins, but please mark that for 11. And then also for the family of Nora Thiessen, our condolences are extended. And her funeral will be at the church here on Monday at December 1st. Do we have a time for that? 11 as well. All right. And then we have a notice that just came in. Art and Irene Dick's grandson, Cody Pauls, was in some sort of accident. Maybe we're not sure what it is, but he's in critical condition in the hospital right now. So that's Lainey and Theo Pauls' son. So please keep them in your prayers as well. Does anybody have anything else that they would like to share this morning?
This is for the ladies of the Willing Helpers who will be singing tomorrow morning at Nora's funeral. If you could meet in the choir room at about 10:20, we'll go over the song that has been chosen. Likewise, another announcement for everybody in choir. We're going to be practicing next Sunday at 9:45 rather than 10, so we can get started a little earlier. Thank you.
there anyone else? There's a mic in the back if anyone else would like to share. No? Okay. Then will you bow your heads with me and we'll pray. Merciful and loving Father, thanks be to you for all our blessings. We bring to you the hurts we carry and ask that you give us the strength to release our wounds to you. We pray for healing, Lord, healing for our world, for those suffering in Africa with Ebola or around the world with Ebola, for those in areas of war and strife. Please bring your healing and peace to them. We pray for healing for our neighbors, healing for Anna and Will as they undergo surgeries this next week. And we pray for healing for our enemies, Lord. Help us extend the light of your love to them. And we also pray for healing for ourselves. We pray especially for those in mourning, for the families and friends of Nora Thiessen and Mary Vogt. May they feel your love and peace surround them and lift them up. And we pray for Cody Pauls, who is in uncertain condition right now. We pray that your healing go out to him and to the family as well. Restore our hope, O God, and let your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Rekindle hope in us and give us life, real life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll now have the offering.
Helpless and hungry, lonely, afraid, wrapped in the chill of midwinter. Come now among us, born new.
I will be reading from Isaiah 64, 1-9, and this is also in the bulletin if you would like to follow along. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down and make your name known to your enemies, and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You have come to help those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people.
Don't you just love Advent? I mean, you have decorations up and you can put all sorts of stuff around. We've got this amazing music. We've been hearing some of it. For sure, my favorite time of year. This year, our theme for Advent is waiting for Christmas. Sounds a little bit trite, doesn't it? Yeah, we're waiting for Christmas. You know, you check your calendar and there it is, the 25th of December, along with all the other things that are on your calendar that are in there that you're waiting for too, like all the concerts that you need to go to and the time you've booked in for cleaning your house and going shopping and baking and all the relatives that you're going to invite over because you meant to all year long and you didn't. And the extra church programs and children and grandchildren and neighbors' kids, and they have all programs and you go to go to those and you're waiting for Christmas and you're waiting for it all to be over so you can get back to normal, right? But that's not quite the waiting for Christmas that we're talking about. What we're talking about is the sort of childhood innocence waiting, you know? Like waiting when we're actually expecting something to happen. Sort of God coming down like he did 2,000 years ago to the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph. God coming down and making a difference in our lives and in our families and in our church and in our world. That there's a difference happening. Slowing down so that we can absorb that and let that happen. There's nothing wrong with all the things that we have planned. They're great things, right? And any given one of them, you look at it and say, I'd like to go to that. Okay, it's the 13th banquet, but that's fine. I'm good with that. My belt might not be, but I am. It's all good stuff. All we're saying is that this year, and if it's only for 1 hour a week, let's slow down. Let's slow down and allow there to be some pregnant expectation where God can come and speak to us and touch our life. We want to allow the magic of Christmas, the mystery of the incarnation, if you rather, come and touch us as people and touch us as a church this Christmas. We are invited to wait for Christmas. May God give us patience to do that. Each Sunday we want to look at a different theme. This one, as you can see from the banner over there, it's hope. Hope is that which allows you to keep your dreams alive when your brain tells you to forget it. You know, it's like a 15-year-old awkward boy daring to ask a poised, beautiful 15-year-old young woman out on a date. Your brain tells you, not going to happen. But hey, 43 years and three children later, dreams come true. There is hope for 15-year-old boys. That's hope. Hope is, yeah, James 2. Hope is what many of you carried and what many of our history carried back in Russia when they took away everything you had. And they took away people that you loved, and some of them were killed and some of them shipped off to Siberia, and they shut the churches, and your brain told you there was nothing left. And yet you did not give up. Somewhere deep inside, there was a sense of hope that kept you pushing and pushing. And here you are. You landed up in Canada or in Paraguay or in Germany. And things happened. Wonderful things were here. That's hope. Hope is seeing beyond the addictions or the abuse or whatever it is that's got a hold of us and has its roots deep into us. And we think we'll never get beyond this. And hope is saying, it looks like we won't get beyond our circumstances, but yes, we will. That's hope. The passage that Elizabeth read is beautiful. In Isaiah 64, it actually from 63 to end of 64 is one story. You need to read it all. The people had no reason for hope. They'd had their country smashed flat. The houses were leveled. They have this big wall all around them, sort of like the Wall of China, only smaller. Around this city to protect them, that was just a bunch of rocks scattered around in the field. Even their temple, the temple that symbolized the God who was there to protect them and keep them safe, even their temple was smashed flat, and then it went away, dejected and hopeless, to another country. And they said, I guess the Babylonian God beat our God, and so we're done. And Isaiah said, nuh-uh. God did not give up on you. You gave up on God. God is still there. If we turn back, and things will change. And then that fabulous passage, rip open the heavens and come out. You can just see this God coming flying out of the heavens as it's ripped open to address the situation. Things happen. The whole Bible is a story of hope from one end to the other. And the greatest story of hope begins here, the story of Jesus. Now, when Jesus was walking around and doing his ministry, people looked at Jesus and they says, ah, here's a source of hope. Maybe Jesus, who's doing all these miracles, he's controlling history, he's healing people, who's doing all these amazing things, they said, this is what will change things for us. Maybe Jesus can do miracles like when they crossed the Red Sea, you know, part of the Red Sea they went through. Maybe Jesus can do something like that with the Romans and get them all to walk through the Mediterranean and drown a bunch of them. Or maybe like David or the Maccabeans, he can come with power and smite them. I'm not sure exactly what smiting is, but it sounds pretty awesome. And smite the bunch of them and give us our freedom. There is hope because Jesus is going to overpower these blinking Romans. But Jesus didn't do that. In fact, the story of Jesus isn't a story of hope that comes by ripping open the heavens. Hope comes very different than that. The story is very simple. Joseph and Mary sort of just barely getting by. I mean, after you pay your taxes and there's not a whole lot left, you're hoping that you can make ends meet. And here's poor Joseph. He finds out that it looks like his fiance's been unfaithful. One to him. And his reputation is gone. Any of you who have lived in small communities knows how that works. Something goes on for the rest of your life. They all remember it. Oh, Joseph, well, wasn't he the one? So his reputation is gone. And Mary no better. There she is. Probably about 15 years old. Can you believe that? 15. And she's pregnant. And so what does the gossip do? And what is she going to do? If Joseph says no, how is she going to support herself? All that a young girl could do to support herself in those days was ply the world's oldest profession, and it's not an exciting thing to do. How did hope come to Joseph and Mary? Amazing. They had a dream, and in the dream an angel came. Try and explain that to someone. Oh, yeah, says Joseph to his friends. I had a dream, and an angel told me it's okay. They're thinking, Joseph, quit eating those mushrooms in the backyard. It doesn't make sense. Hope is like that. Hope comes to us in small ways. You ever see the movie WALL-E? They wreck the planet, right? With all their wonderful gadgets. And they finally have to leave. And what is the source of hope? All their technology and their wonderful brains? That little plant. That little fragile plant is the source of hope. And there it is, growing amidst the debris that they've left behind. And they all see this and they go, there's a future. There's a future. And that's how God brings hope to us. That just like he did to Joseph and Mary, not by ripping the heavens open, not necessarily by changing our circumstances right now, but by changing us and allowing us to dream dreams beyond where we are. There's hope. Our world brings with it a lot that says it's done. You listen to people talking about the environment. They used to call it global warming, but then I think somebody came to Manitoba. They changed the name to, what is it called now? Environmental change or something like that. We're going downhill. Global warming. And some people are saying, I don't know, we may have crossed the line of no return. And some very hopeful. Or if you take a look at violence that goes on in our world, for as many times as people are trying to squash it and the powers that be try to put it down, it seems to pop up somewhere else even worse. And now we have ISIS, which doesn't look like a very happy picture out there. Hard to contain, hard to know what they're doing. There's nothing that seems to be a controlling factor. You can't say, be nice or else you'll what? They're doing the worst things you can imagine. And there are other things. Things like racism. We've seen this thing happening down in Missouri. This young fellow that was killed by the police. And it's something's erupting, and you know it's not just that case. It's lit a fire under something that was already there. Or abuse and violence that goes on. In the news recently, there's been a whole lot about Gian Gomeshi and what's gone on there. And we say, how can this happen? And it brings to light things that are going on. And the story goes on and on and on. Sometimes what takes away our hope is mental illness or broken relationships or financial disaster, or there's a whole long list of things, right? And we come to Advent and we say, where's hope? And we're waiting for God to rip open the heavens and come popping out and solve our problem. There, God says, all taken care of. Now you can be happy. But it doesn't come like that. It comes like the little plant in WALL-E. It comes like the dream of the angel for Mary and Joseph. God places within us, in Jesus, a sense of hope. And that changes us. In the midst of our world that's low on hope, he changes us. And we go out as changed people with the message, there is hope. Whatever your situation, there is hope. And that comes to us today. There is hope. That's what we celebrate here. The hope that comes not through the power of angels pouring out of heaven, but in the hope of a baby born in a manger. In the hope of a man hanging on a cross. And so we come at the beginning of Advent to celebrate hope. And so I say to you, what is it that has stolen your hope? Advent is here. Jesus has come. And we can be people of hope, and not only for us, but we're invited to go out into our world and reflect in our world. The baby has been born. There is hope for us, for them, for our world. Jesus has come. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Gary, for that encouragement to hope. Can you turn with me in your blue hymnals to song number 180? And we will sing all three verses.
Morning, we are invited to come to the table, to come to celebrate the hope that we find in the story of Christmas, a hope rooted not in changed circumstances, but in changed lives, a hope not rooted in the power of our world, but in the power of the cross, a hope that is not comprised of health or wealth or circumstances, but finds its completeness in the kingdom of God, a hope that focuses our lives on the baby in the manger, the man on the cross. Let's pray. Hidden and revealed God, like your followers in ancient times, we long for you to tear open the heavens and come among us in amazing ways. But you come to us most often in the commonness of ordinary life. Break upon us in Advent with the freshness of a new stirring. Surprise us with your unexpected nearness, as close as the breath we breathe, as the table we share, as the bread we break and the cup we drink. Make yourself known to us so that everyone may come here and worship you today. Amen. Just a few brief instructions before we celebrate communion together today, and it certainly is a celebration. I'd like to invite you as the caregivers pass the bread and the cup to pass the peace of Christ. Just say, the peace of Christ be with you. But also, for those who are gluten intolerant, you'll find in the center of the bread tray some crackers, which are gluten-free. And for those who would rather not have wine, you'll find the inner circle in the tray is juice. Yes, it's made of juice, too. When the tray and the plate are passed, we ask that you would hold the bread and the cup until everyone has received and we'll participate together. I'd like to invite the caregivers to come join me, please. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Has everyone who would like to be served been served? Open our eyes, Lord Jesus, to see you in this common bread and in our common lives, in our hunger and our fullness, in our worship and our work. Feed us with bread unseen. Amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Hallelujah. Caregivers. Has everyone who wishes to participate been served? Open our hearts, Lord, and fill our cups to overflowing. Prepare your table to the blessing even in the presence of our enemies. Drench us with your compassion for the poor, and make us thirsty for justice and liberation for the oppressed. Pour for us the cup of heaven as a benediction. In this bread and cup you are not lacking in any spiritual nourishment. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless on that day. Let us go from this place with grace. Amen.
Let us stand to sing the last hymn, number 178, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, and we will sing both verses.